Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Don't sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
Dexter, what do you mean by maturity of a reliever? Blue ball is number choice. He should be a reliever, not a starter. Relievers are like, you know, Wild Thing, Rick Vaughn. They're like Kenny Powers. You know, they're kind of volatile. They don't have to be all that smart. They can be dumb and, you know, wild cards. Starters need to be polished. They need to be buttoned up. They need to, you know, be able to put on a coat and a tie from time to time. I think Blue Ball has got the reliever mentality, not a starter mentality.
Just as you said that, thinking about how many relievers, like, fit that bill of just out there to that level, like the John Rockers.
Exactly. And John Rocker.
Oh, my God.
Remember Turk
Rocker.
Wendell? Like, Turk Wendell yes. wasn't, like, you know, nuts like Rocker. But, like, he would, like, jump over the foul line and brush his teeth yep. in the dugout. Like, they're weird.
How could you forget Ken Giles? I mean.
Ken Giles punching himself as he came over to the dugout.
The tank top.
Relievers going into the locker room and punching walls. The tank top. Like
going at AJ.
They're nuts, man. Relievers have a screw loose.
What was the guy back in the day?
You kind of like him that way, too.
The Braves and the Cardinals guy, the mad Hungarian that used to, like, get all fired up before every hitter, slam his fist into his glove and, like, have a mini temper tantrum to get on the rubber. Oh, the video of that.
I don't remember him.
Oh, my God. You got to look it up. Al Hrabowski. This dude, like, between hitters, would, like, turn his back to the hitter and just start pounding his glove, rubbing the base, and turn around like he was ready to kill somebody and then jump on the mound and, like, psychotically throw. Like, God, if you're a hitter, I'm going, what is this dude doing?
Yeah, I don't remember that guy. That's nuts. But these dudes are weird, man. Like, relievers are insane. Starters have to be, you know, they have to go, like, they have to be conditioned. They have to go deeper into games. They need to do up-downs. And starting pitching's more of a, like, more of a stroll. Whereas the relief pitcher is more of a sprint. So, you know, different mentality. Papelbon trying to fight Harper, says Corey. Mm-hmm. There's another reliever gone mad. Although I think Papelbon was in the right there because Harper, like, wasn't running out of ground ball. Like, hey, play the game the right way.
Papelbon was just fiery overall, too. He wasn't afraid to air out his opinions.
Who was that closer for the Giants? No, for the Dodgers. Eric Gagne. Gagne was kind of nuts. Who was the one for the Giants who, like, dyed his beard black and he did it with shoe polish?
Oh.
He had, like, a really good 2 years. Like, he was kind of.
And he
just
went to the Dodgers.
Guy.
Yes, I know exactly. I can see him. He went to the Dodgers after that.
Was it Rob Nin?
No,
it was after Nin.
Let me look it up.
Brian Wilson.
Yep.
Brian Wilson. I wouldn't have guessed his name was Brian Wilson.
He went to the Dodgers after the Giants, but he never had the success. Yeah.
He'd always have, like, his jersey unbuttoned to, like, his belly button. And he'd dye his beard black with shoe polish.
Yep.
Yeah, he was insane. These dudes are relievers are insane. Starters have to be a little bit more professional. Brian Wilson, text line, nailing us with the Brian Wilson. Jose Lima was a starter and was kind of nuts. Yeah, it's fair. I mean, he was more flash and flair. I don't think Lima was nuts. I think he was more flair.
Yeah,
like, he played the game with a little bit more of a, you know, Latin flair, I think.
I mean, you look at it and you say, well, like, Mark the Bird Fitterich was the one starter that was out there like a relief pitcher, talking to himself, talking to the ball, doing all that. We really haven't seen anything like that in a long, long time where a starter was like that.
No, not at all. That's what I'm saying. Maturity to be a starter. Most people named Brian Wilson are nuts. I don't even know any other Brian Wilson. Ken Caminiti was nuts, too. Why is Ken Caminiti catching strays? We're talking about starting pitchers and relief pitchers, and Ken Caminiti is out here catching a stray. Rest in peace.
Wasn't Brian Wilson one of the Beach Boys? You wouldn't know, but from a music perspective, I think so, because I think he's related to a baseball player of all things, but I don't know what that
is. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So should the Astros keep Brendan Rodgers? Brendan Rodgers has an advanced consent clause in his contract. The Astros have the deadline of Saturday where they could release him. They could release him tomorrow. They could release him tomorrow, release him out of his contract. Now, he's owed $2 million for the entire year. So are you keeping Brendan Rodgers, or are you saying so long? Our time was short, but it was fond.
I mean, from a guy that I didn't think was even going to make the roster to a guy that's starting on a pretty consistent basis with the fact that offensively he's been better than I thought he would be, I think for his price tag you keep him. I don't think that you're going to do any better, and you got a guy like Dubon that can still stay in the role that maybe he's best suited for of utility guy. But, yeah, I'm keeping him.
Yeah, Rodgers is better than Dubon. He's kind of always been better than Dubon with his bat, at least on average. Some of these, you know, advanced numbers on Rodgers are pretty good. Savant likes Brendan Rodgers. Plus, it's cheap. Mm-hmm. It's $2 million. Like, what else are you doing with that money at this stage of the season? And then who else is taking his spot? Like, you DFA Brendan Rodgers. What's the move? For Shea Whitcomb? Like, you're called up Cesar Salazar. Like, you have nobody in AAA that's ready to come up and actually be a contributor on this team. So, and Rodgers is your best offensive second baseman right now, if we're not including Altuve in that conversation. So, if they release Brendan Rodgers, I would really question that, because he is your best option to play most days at second, if we're not counting Altuve, and you do not have somebody who can take his spot that's being a contributor on this team. So for me, and because it's $2 million, I believe it's a no-brainer. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Israel on the line. What's up, Israel? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? I think they're going to keep Rodgers, man. You know what I'm saying? He looks shaky right now. You know what I'm saying? He's doing, you know, average 225. You know what I'm saying? He got, let me see how many home runs he got. He got one home run. But it's the top of the order. Now, they can put Altuve back at second, right? But I heard Cheesy brought up our boy Cam, right? Cam, he amongst, you know what I mean, the vets, right? His slugging percentage, 365. OPS, 667. It's not great. 212. This is what everybody, because they can pick anything out and be like, yo, his batting average 212. Nobody besides one person last year for the Astros batted over 300. So it's not like 300 walking on that team. So he got three home runs. He's second. Well, he's third now. He got three. The top is at five. On right field, he is doing a great job. So don't act like he's still a work in progress. I just don't even get that when y'all be bringing him up like that, trying to dismiss what he's doing right now. He's going to be in the running for the rookie of the year right now. Right now, because he's the top.
If his, of it would, the, I he mean, was, his numbers on, right okay. now?
Come on, man.
Right now, let's look at it. I got it right here. Amongst Astros, right now. All the from 1 through 8, he usually bet 9. 1 through 8, he is doing great, bro.
Israel.
He's doing great for
Israel, did you say you heard me say that I was saying things about Cam Smith? Have you been listening for the last 2 days, Israel?
You said Cam. But
time out. Have you been listening for the last 2 days?
No, I didn't. But
there you go.
Yesterday, well,
that says a lot.
I listened to the day, though. You brought up Rodgers, but Rodgers they're going to keep Rodgers. I'm going to tell you why. Because at the price point, did y'all say $2 million? Man, this is just the beginning of the season. I think his back going to pick up, and the rest of them going to pick. The vets going to pick up, and Cam going to pick up. And I think they're going to be in the end of the day. They're going to win the division or the conference, and I think they got a shot at playing for it all. That's it.
Can you stay on hold while I give you – actually, just – I don't know if – Israel, can you stay on hold here while I counter some of your points here? You
yes,
mentioned
sir.
Cam Smith is third on the team of home runs. There's four guys that are above him, so he'd be fifth, tied for fifth.
No, I mean, well, by the way. I'm going to let you go ahead.
And so then the batting average. I got some more. Israel, we're going to have to hang up on you if you don't let me finish. We let you. We gave you a runway. You got to give me a runway. It's the Killer Bees, not the Killer Israel show, although I've listened to the Killer Israel show. I think it'd be really good. You mentioned the 212 batting average, and then all of a sudden you gatekeeped it up to 300. Why are you comparing a 300 batting average to a 212 batting average? That made no sense to me.
Because only one person on the Astros the whole year batted over 300. So don't act like somebody...
Right, but why is 300 the baseline?
Well, 212 is not bad for a rookie and with less than 100 at-bats. He only have 85 at-bats compared to 130, yeah. All the rest of them. That's it. So all I'm saying is put a little respect on my boy name. And at the end of the year, he's going to be in the running for the rookie of the year. They put him in right field.
I hope you're right.
They didn't have errors like y'all thought he would. What are they doing? He's playing it because he's built for it. Look at his height. Look at his. Yeah, I mean, look at how he get the ball back to the plate. LV to the infield, and yeah, I mean, he's a guy. Just put full respect.
All right,
on
hold on.
Play.
Let me. My turn, real quick. Hey, you're right. He's been really good defensively. I've been really impressed with him defensively. Here are a few Astros with a better batting average than Cam Smith. Cam Smith's 11th on the Astros with batting average right now. Mauricio Dubon has a better batting average, 216, 51 at-bats. Victor Caratini has a better batting average, 217 and 54 at-bats. Yiner Diaz, 222. Brendan Rodgers, 225. Chaz McCormick, 250. Zach DiZinzo, 269. Jake Myers.
Okay.
297.
Okay,
Cam Smith's 11th, Israel. 11th.
Let's go to OBP. They all on the 300.
All right, let's do it.
Let's go to OBP. Let's go to slugging percentage.
Cam's 9th.
Are you down
Cam's
with OBP?
No. You can always point out something. You can always he takes too many.
I'm pointing out what you want me to point out. I'm literally saying you said
no,
OBP,
no,
not me.
What about OPP? OPP. OBP.
Are you down with it, Israel? Are you
I'm
down with OBP?
At it, Israel. Well, I'm looking at OBP right now. Cam Smith's 9th at 302. He's being beat by Yordan, Brendan Rodgers, Caratini, DiZinzo, Pena, Chaz, Myers, and Paredes.
Did he hang up?
Smith is 9th.
I think he's had enough.
Oh, man.
I wanted to ask him what he thought of whether Cam Smith ever should have been called up or made the roster in the first place.
You know the answer to that.
I do, yes.
You know the answer.
But would have been fun. I want to know if he was down with OBP.
Look, and like to Israel's point about like Cam Smith at this stage of his career, like, yeah, these are what his numbers should be. Like, I think he's doing fine for his like development, but is he adding wins to the Astros right now? Not with the bat, maybe defensively. He has been a very good defender, but he's not helping the Astros with the bat. And then a lot of people would push back and gaslight. Like, well, none of the Astros have been good offensively. Yeah, but the other Astros weren't on the roster bubble. Like, Yordan Alvarez wasn't, oh, should we keep him in the minors? Mm-hmm. Jose Altuve, should he be starting the year in AAA? Yiner, should he be the AAA catcher at the Sugar Land? Like, that, those weren't questions. There was the question, and a very fair, valid question, if Cam Smith should start the season with the Astros. It was not around for Christian Walker. So I don't like that counter-argument to it. But, no, Israel, I agree with you. I think Cam Smith's future is bright. I don't think he should be sitting 3 days in a row if he's going to be up with the big club. I think we could probably agree on that front. Let's see if we got any text here. Blankers, I got your Naughty by Nature reference. I actually thought about doing a parody song, Are You Down with OBP? But it felt kind of nerdy, so I decided not to do it. Texter, stop having this bum on. What do you mean? Israel's great.
Yeah, he's
I think Israel's my favorite character of the Killer Bees.
Yes,
we have a lot of great characters. We have Israel. Allison's a new character. Troy, I think, would be a character of ours. Pena, for sure.
Willie.
Who else? Who am I missing? What are there? Willie for sure. How could I miss? How could I not see Willie?
I didn't say that, but that's what I meant.
See? See what he meant there?
Our Twitchers are kind of a character in probably like their one collective uneducated body of work.
A fat guy in his underwear living in his mother's basement.
Trey. Like, I think we have a murderer's row of characters to the Killer Bees.
Pena.
I think you've done a great job of building a good character base. Mention Pena. Thank you for listening.
Oh, God.
Why would we get rid of Israel? Jasper, I think, is a character because he tucks his blankets into his mattress. Like, we're not getting rid of Israel. Texture, Israel's not paying attention to y'all talking about Cam needing to play every day. Tell the Joker to listen more. Israel's nonsense, says Blaine. Come on now. Israel has zero ability to make a logical argument. Come on. We're not going to read all these mean text about Israel. Israel equals Beetlejuice. What does that even mean? We're not reading mean text to Israel. We got rid of mean text. What are the chances?
Is that the movie or the guy on Stern back in the day? Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah.
I need some clarity.
I don't know. What do you think about the Myers thing? Do you think Myers could stay good?
I don't. You know me. I don't. And I think you even touched on it. I mean, he's done this before where he starts the season hot and then he kind of falls back to the means of who he really is. And he ends up being right where he normally is. And always is. So I don't have, I hope to God he does, but I don't have confidence that he will. No.
Yeah. If the DH bats eighth in the lineup, is he really a DH? Hashtag trash lineup. I've always had that same thought. Like, if you're a DH, you should be batting, I think, like top six spots minimum. Weird to me when a DH bats in the bottom of the order. Like, I mean, top four might be a little too lofty. But certainly not in the bottom third.
Yeah, I just think of the great designated hitters were, you know, almost always top four.
Well, we didn't say great designated hitters. He's saying not a trash
DH. But I understand
DH.
What he's saying. He's basically just taking a shot at what the Astros are doing tonight.
Well, for sure. But I don't mind if a DH bats top six. It can't be bottom third. What Philip asked, what does a guy have to get mentioned as being an elite B? I forgot Philip 68. Philip 68 is absolutely an elite B.
Honey glazed?
They're just, you know, uh-huh.
And
yep, honey
Keith,
glazed,
Keith, did you mention
sure.
Keith from L.A.?
Oh, Keith from L.A. is another elite B. Uh-huh. Keith, who likes all the old men. He's
the other Keith,
he's a,
right?
In an unhealthy desire and love for Logan Webb.
Donna.
He's an elite B. Donna's an elite B. We have so many elite Bs. Israel is an elite B, so don't make fun of Israel. There goes Branham making people cry and hanging up the phone, LOL. I didn't want him to. Y'all have that one dip blank, always referencing quesadilla cheeseburgers. Do we have a dude referencing quesadilla cheeseburgers?
What?
Oh, I think somebody. Who is that? I don't know who he's referencing.
I don't know.
One of my favorite bits is we're not going to read. Softball mom Allison Myers is the antonym of Bregman. Starts big, then fizzles out, except for this year. Rest in peace, Breggy. Bregman never started hot. He would always start slow and then finish pretty strong.
So he's the opposite. He starts hot, and then he fizzles out.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, good point. She AP'd me. She English languaged me. I forgot what antonym meant for a minute. Synonym is the same. Antonym is the opposite. My bad, softball mom, Allison. I'm the idiot. I made the list. That one's on me. Texture, Israel is an elite B. Elite, bad word? Come on, now. Brandon T, an elite B. I don't know if you're an elite B yet, Brandon T. Like, you're on the cusp. You're on the, you're at the gate. I'm not sure you've been let in the gate yet. Texture says Gilbert. I don't know if Gilbert's an elite B. I think he's an elite John and Lance
He's
guy.
Definitely a John, yeah.
I don't know if he listens to us. Yeah. I've never heard from Gilbert on this show.
No.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener. Israel is stupid. He just wants to be known. He's an idiot. He's not an idiot.
I appreciate him.
And again, we're not reading.
I appreciate him being a part of the show.
We're not going to sit here and belittle Israel. Like, we love Israel. We have sound bites of Israel. We hear from Israel every single day.
I know when you forgot.
Let's go, Coochie.
You might pay the price for forgetting that one. Lamont.
Lamont's an elite B. Yeah. I can't just reel them all off in the matter of a second. Like, I'm going to not remember a couple as I do it on the fly and from the top of the dome. How am I going to get all of them right?
I'm helping you out.
Can't give them all mentions.
Just saying, you know.
It's like when an actor wins an award. He's not going to sit up there and go up to the podium and be like, thank everybody he can thank.
Some do.
Right? It's not possible.
Some try.
And then they get played off. They get played off. Paredes to second, Cam to third. His natural position, DeZinzo gets more playing time in right field. That defense sounds terrible.
Yeah, Paredes ain't playing second.
I don't think Cam's playing third anymore. I think Cam's a full-time outfielder now.
For the rest of his career?
I don't think he'll ever move back to the dirt. Yeah. He'll never play third base. I will bet anybody a large amount of money that he will never play third base primarily again. Like, he might get an inning there or like a spot start there, but he'll never be a primary third baseman in his entire career. And if he moves back to the dirt, it would be first. But he's too good of an outfielder. He's going to be in right field. He's got a better chance to be a center fielder than a third baseman.
Be interesting to see. I mean, yeah, it's not unusual to have a guy change positions. I don't think his body and everything is a prototypical third baseman for the long haul. Maybe you're right.
He does the same thing on John and Lance. I think he's talking about Israel. I'd rather hear Lamont for an hour than listen to Israel at all. We're not going to read mean things about Israel. 713-780-3776. Who would you rather listen to for an hour, Lamont or Israel?
Lamont. Split it.
It's a tie for me.
Yeah. Well, nice job.
I would like to listen to them host a show. That would be high entertainment. Yeah.
What? Yeah.
You wouldn't like that?
I didn't say that. You said you don't want to be on the fence. I think you got to pick one or the other.
No, I don't. It's not a sports take. I could be on the fence on this one.
Okay.
If Cam wasn't black, Israel wouldn't care at all, would say he's a scrub. I don't detect that with Israel. I don't think Israel sees color. I don't think Israel has a preference or a bias based on one
sees
demographic over the other.
Ooh, he sees Reed Sheffer.
No, I don't think that's a color thing. I think it's a sports thing. I don't think he thinks Reed Sheffer's a bum because he's white. Sheffer's a bum because he's not good at basketball.
I don't think
he thinks Cam Smith's good at baseball because he's black. I think he thinks Cam Smith's good at baseball because he's good at baseball. I don't think it's a color thing with Israel.
Okay.
You disagree?
No, Jeremy. Maybe it's the connection, but I was going to try a couple times to say that I thought that I was going to bring up Reed Sheffer and say, you know, the same way you're hard on Reed Sheffer, you're not hard on Cam Smith because of the fact that he hates Reed Sheffer so much and he's so high on Cam Smith. I'm not saying it's a racist thing.
The Cam Smith actually plays, though.
Yeah, but I mean, both are highly touted, quote unquote, prospects of their team in this town. Reed Sheffer, not getting the amount of time, but maybe that's because when he does get it, they don't believe in him. But now you've got a guy they believed in that is not doing it on the field. So there are similarities in the fact that both of them are supposed to be in the long-term future of their franchises too.
Well, I think I disagree with that point. What was the word that you used to describe it? Like, they're the top prospect on their team?
One of the top prospects for the future of their team. Yeah, I think the Rockets still
are. Okay, I thought you said the top prospect.
No, because it's like he's so willing to close the door after one season of Reed Sheffer, who's young and immature and learning, but yet he wants to keep that door wide open and let Cam keep driving through it when it comes to the baseball.
Yeah, I thought you said the top prospect, because I wouldn't call Reed the top prospect on the Rockets. Like, Cam Smith is the top Astros offensive prospect. But if we were just comparing rookie years between Reed and Cam, I would have to give, and like, it's been very early for Cam, I would have to give Cam the leg up over Reed, without a doubt. Because, I mean, he's actually on the field. His numbers aren't great, but he is doing some productive things. Where Reed, most productive thing he did was in the G League.
Yeah. Yep.
Why are you checked out?
I'm not checked out. You've been checked out off and on the whole show with stuff, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just saying.
Where did I check out?
I mean, who said it, for one?
Well, yeah, I hate that game. That's touche. You're right. I did check out on who said it because that game sucks. Mm-hmm. Where else?
I'm not scorekeeping. I'm just saying it.
It sounded like you are because you said that I've checked out a lot in the show.
This is Friday, man.
You said it! Like, how could you get on to me for you bringing up something?
No, because it's frustrating. I'm not, because the listeners don't need to hear it. I'm not getting into it, what the technical side of things.
I just don't know how we, like, you bring up a conversation, and then whenever I talk about it, I get in trouble with you.
You're not, Jeremy, Chuck's on the line. He wants to talk about Cam Smith.
Okay, let's go to Chuck. 713-780-3776. Chuck, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Chuck?
What's up, guys? After that last phone call, I got to say, Jeremy, I was totally wrong. That bum should be sent down. Send his butt down. Dana White was stupid. I ain't listened to a word all day long, but this guy gets on the phone every friggin' day. Man, send him down. Thank y'all. Y'all have a good day.
Struck a nerve.
Dang, Chuck.
Chuck, he struck a nerve.
Trying not to... We're trying to be nice to Israel, and Chuck says he called Dana Brown Dana White, which was so appropriate for Chuck's call, calling Dana Brown Dana White. Oh man, that was classic there. Texture, I'd punch you, Branham. Good luck. Next remote, come knock me in the jaw. I hope you make a lot of money though. I don't want a poor man punching me in the jaw. I want a rich man punching me in the jaw. Texture, I think it's Israel texting. Thank you, Branham. Clap emoji. Clap emoji. Clap emoji. Dana White, LOL. Branham pushes things too far, which kills the vibe of most of y'all's show. I only do it like once a show, so how can it be most a show? I don't understand that. And Blankers brought up a topic. He didn't want to talk about the topic. Israel, I don't know what that means. Their texter. Branham moved on, man. You ruined the mood of the show with your sassy ways. It was Blanker's topic. Blanker went there, didn't want to have a topic about it. Like, if he wants to go there, we can have a chat.
No, you're the one telling me I checked out when I didn't check out, and I'm trying to tell you that I don't want to talk about technical difficulties because you're on remote, and I'm trying to interject, and I can't interject, and for whatever reason, the connection won't let us the way we normally do it when you're not in studio. And there, if you really want to know all of it, there it is, and there you got it.
I did. That's good. I didn't know we were having technical difficulties. What's the issue?
I just covered it, Jeremy. I'm not going to cover it again because it's boring to the listener.
I don't think that that was a technical thing, though. I wanted to know what the problem is so I can fix it. We can talk about it during the commercial. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. I saw the reach of the century yesterday. The biggest reach when it applies how Jalen Green was defended by the Golden State Warriors. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. He's right here in the Houston Medical Center, and he is here to help you if you are suffering any kind of hair loss. If you have lost your hair, if you're experiencing pattern baldness or thinning of your hair, and you don't think there's anything you can do about it, there actually is, and it's right here locally with Doc Linville. Doc Linville is so good at so many things. He does spa treatments and Botox. He does so many different things with plastic surgery. But the thing that I'm personally having experience with to tell you about is the NeoGraft procedure and PRP treatments all associated with hair loss. He stopped me at one of our events here at the station a long time ago, and he said, hey, can I give you a consultation one day? I just want to sit down and talk to you about some things. I said, I don't have anything to lose. Sure. And he started telling me about what he does with the PRP treatments and with the NeoGraft. And he said, look, I can get your hair back. Your hairline seems like it's gone up quite a bit. And he said, I saw some of the pictures of when you first started with Station and when you were with the Rockets. He goes, I can help. And so I was listening. I was interested. I had the full consultation at his office, and I was hooked. Once he told me exactly what they do and the fact that it isn't the gimmicks you see on TV, it's actually realistically fixing the problem. It's like, if in lawn terms, PRP treatments, which we heard for years with athletes, they use it for their knees and shoulders and their joints. It can also be used with hair. If you still have hair on your head, but it's thinning, it's not quite what it used to be, the PRP treatments are like fertilizing your lawn. Gets your hair stronger, longer, thicker, and it looks better from a day-to-day basis. And then from the standpoint of the NeoGraft procedure, he basically explains it's like resodding your lawn. You never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, so he takes some of that hair every third or fourth follicle, and he moves it where you need it most, that hairline or that bald spot on top. And in no time at all, you see the follicles there. They start to grow because he's taking them from a place where they never go away. You're going to have them for the rest of your life. And you get results that give you more self-confidence, a better appearance, and you're going to love the way you look again. It's fantastic. You get that free consultation like I got. People off the street pay $150. You're listening to me. You want to talk to him? 975hair.com. Sign up for an appointment. Go in, ask questions, get answers, let them explain everything to you, and then walk away. Decide if you want to do it. No commitment to be made, no signing on the dotted line, no money out of pocket. Basically, it's just you getting the information you need to see if you can make the decision that could be a game changer. I did it. I couldn't be happier with it. You need to check it out to see if you might consider it too. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texters, can we get along? Always get along. You're a wife, Branham. I'll take that as a compliment. It means I'm a catch. I love the quarrel. Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. It's not boring. I love the back and forth. I got 20 on blankers. Kind of feel like J-Bone is quicker, though. Everybody's faster than B-Mac, including Machete. I'm not sure why Brian's catching a strike.
Yeah, what's the, why did I get drug into this? But you're right. Most people are faster than me.
Unless you need to get
Peter
5 yards.
Blanks.
Damn right, Joel.
You get 5 yards quick, unblocked.
And you can get to the dugout in time to get your at-bat.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't have to get all the way to the dugout. I just got to get to the batter's box.
What, are you going to bat with your glove in your back pocket?
Someone will toss me a bat. It'll be fine.
It's going to be like the old days when you don't leave the glove. You tuck it into the back of your pants.
Where your batting gloves in your pockets already, I guess?
Hell yeah.
Your helmet? Your ball boy bringing your helmet, too?
And the bat?
Yeah, toss them to me. I'll catch it.
I think B-Mac here is rewriting the rules a bit. Peter K. says, Blank hates puppies, kids, nickel corners, the Rockets, property taxes, beef fajitas, Draymond Green, trampoline park workers, coaches that run up the score when Branham checks out. And who said it? Only time I checked out. I guess
no, Joel doesn't hate who said it. He hates losing in who said it, but he doesn't hate the segment.
No, no, he didn't say who said it. He didn't say that Blankers hates who said
it.
He hates when Branham checks out. I added the who said it. Peter K. didn't say who said it.
Gotcha.
He said, and when Branham checks out. And then I added in who said it.
Oh, the list is missing one thing, though. The top one on the list, Jordan Love.
Oh, good one, yep.
Oh, he does hate Jordan Love. Another texter about Israel. We know it's definitely a race thing with Israel. You have to be politically correct, Brad. You can't say it on the radio. Screw that dude. I disagree. I think it's just about the player. If the guy's good, he calls it like he sees it. If he's bad, he calls it like he sees it. And they're all his opinion, of course. It's all relative. We get flooded with enough of the racial bias online and through TV. No need to have Israel on. Look, we're not gonna suppress the voice of Israel, just like we're not gonna suppress your voice, Texter. Everybody has an opinion, and it's a beautiful sports country out there, including this opinion, Blankers, which to me was the biggest reach that I've seen of one making of Jalen Green, and it comes from Big Sarge, and I like Big Sarge. I'm a big fan of Big Sarge. He filled in once on the show while you were gone, and I think he works hard. I think he's one of the hardest workers in Houston sports media, so I do have a lot of respect for the guy. But this take is the biggest reach I've ever seen. It was about how Golden State defended Jalen. He tweeted this yesterday, so it was well after the series. He compared how Jalen was defended by Golden State to the Jordan rules that the Detroit Pistons put together for Michael Jordan. So y'all telling me that y'all watched all 7 games against the Warriors and didn't see variations of this plan devised against Jalen Green. I'm good, y'all got it. And then he posted the key aspects of the Jordan rules. Double teaming and physical defense. Forcing Jordan to the left. Limiting the paint. Psychological warfare. So all of those things are fine and good, but like we know with the Jordan rules, the Detroit Pistons were like, yeah, they had all of these elements, but we know that the real Jordan rules, not the ones that are printed, not ones they talked about publicly, was to knock Michael Jordan on his tail all the time when he came into the paint. Like, physical defense is one thing. There was Bill Laimbeer clotheslining Michael Jordan, kneeing him in the abdomen, like all of that stuff. Nothing like a Jalen Green caught an elbow once by Draymond Green that was barely grazed his nose. None of that was like the Detroit Piston Jordan rules they put together for the game's greatest.
No, it's hashtag interesting, hashtag a lot of other words. That's absolutely ludicrous because he's not Michael Jordan. Because they didn't do it all series. Because they didn't do it to see what he could do in game one, and he did nothing. Then in game two, when he went off, they did it in game three and then realized he was starting to shrink up and he was starting to go away. And if you go back and look at the later games in the series, they had no concern for Jalen Green. They weren't even close to double teaming him. They were basically daring him because he looked like he was already checked out. It's so ridiculous and far-fetched. I can't respond because I don't follow him because he's got rules to the way he makes his opinions. But if I'd have seen it, I would have just chuckled and laughed and scratched my head because that's absolutely crazy.
So would you have responded?
I've tried in the past when he's actually what you guys have a name for it. When I get referred to, or the things I've said was referred to in a response to someone else, but then he wouldn't respond to me, and then when I try to respond, I can't because I don't follow him. But then I got, I was told he uses his hashtag interesting, and I'm like, well, great. I think it's hashtag stupid. I can't respond, and he doesn't say it directly to me if he doesn't like what I said. But overall, like, come on, man. There's no comparison.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest reach I've seen ever associated with Jalen Green. Calling it the Jordan rules. And, like, I get the little definition. Like, it was to play him hard and, like, you know, not keep him out of the paint and, you know, force him to go left, not right. But we know that the real Jordan rules, when they were sitting there talking about it on the team bus, they wanted to knock Michael Jordan on his tail every chance they got. I truly believe that they were trying to get Michael Jordan out of the game. Like, I think they were trying to injure him to the point that he could not play anymore. It wasn't as simple as the limit paint touches, force him to the left, double team him. It was, we want this dude out of the series by injuring him. Now, they'll never say it, but I think we know the truth.
Yeah, it was also the fact that that was the one guy that they were hell-bent on. Because I don't think you're wrong. I think in that the old Pistons, they were not afraid to hurt somebody. They were not afraid to have that mentality. And it was the time and it was the style of play and the way the league was at the time where the rules allowed it. But Jordan was still getting his. No matter what they tried to do to him, Jordan was still persevering, taking it, toughing it out, getting his points, leading his team, doing the things that he did. Like, to compare that to what Jalen Green got, for essentially a game and a half, maybe, and not even to the level of physicality, but just like the attention that they don't want him to beat them offensively. That's so insulting to Michael Jordan, and just so far-fetched when you compare Jalen Green.
Yeah, reach of the century, I think, is what we had in play here. I was surprised to see that Jalen Green got the Jordan rules by Golden State Warriors. I wasn't expecting to see that. All right, 713-780-3776. Car wrecks of the day. Also, the Astros start a series against the Reds today. So we're going to play Cincinnati Reds player or a
member of the Big Red Machine.
Oh, one of the greatest teams ever assembled.
1976
we'll do that next.
Reds.
It is the Bees. Yeah, that was a I don't want to tip my hand. That was a fun team. Red or a member of the Big Red Machine. Car wrecks of the day next as well. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Look, if you're in the market for a new vehicle, I'm going to sell you straight. Get over to Monument Chevrolet. They're the dealer you can trust. They're the best dealer. They're transparent, no hassle pricing. That's always annoying, right? You go to these dealerships, you're like, okay, this is the sticker price. Where are they going to mark me up? Are they going to charge me too much of my warranty? What are the add-on? You're not going to worry about that at Monument Chevrolet. Transparent, no hassle pricing. It's why they've been serving the Houston area for 50 years and have helped generations of families get into new vehicles. It's why these families keep coming back to Monument Chevrolet and buy all of their vehicles there, because they're transparent, because of the no-hassle pricing. Monument Chevrolet's got a family feel, friendly atmosphere from the moment you walk in the door. Their culture is elite, and they hire good people, so it continues to breed and build that good culture, including Javier, who's the Monument Chevrolet Employee of the Week. Javier, laid back, easygoing, no high-pressure sales pitches with Javier, which we all can appreciate if we're buying a vehicle. He prioritizes customer satisfaction and doesn't mind going the extra mile to please. If you're looking for a vehicle for your business, Monument Chevrolet has you covered there. They're one of the best dealerships nationwide in commercial vehicle sales. A huge selection of work trucks, vans, SUVs. Monument Chevrolet has the perfect vehicle as well for businesses of any size or inventory. If you're in the market for that, get a fair deal, a fast deal, an easy deal without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. Visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com. You can check out their inventory there, monumentchevrolet.com, or check out their inventory in person. 225 and Beltway 8. It is a massive, massive piece of property there at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Car wrecking today coming up in 5 minutes. 713-780-3776 if you want to get those in. Rahil just tweeted us about the Jordan rules. Jordan, I didn't realize this. Jordan averaged 30 points a game against the Pistons the 3 years the Bulls lost in the playoffs.
Yep.
I was curious what it was in year one specifically, because like that to me would be the one that was the most important. He still averaged 27.5 in the first series against Detroit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Rahil says, so what the Warriors did to Jalen was beyond Jordan rules. Or maybe it was Jalen's not nearly as good.
That's pretty much it.
Maybe it's also that. Yeah. All right, let's get to the but that is information. Good information. Appreciate that, Rahil. All right, let's get to Red or Big Red Machine, Blankers.
Okay, here we go. Big Red Machine, the 1970s. Some people say the greatest baseball team ever assembled. The 76 World Series Reds or the current Cincinnati Reds. Fun fact, Cincinnati was once known, by the way, I found out, as Porkopolis because of its interests in pork. Who knew? Never knew that. All right, first one.
Cincinnati is?
Yes. Was once known as
never heard of that.
Porkopolis. I don't think you want to be known as that.
That's funny.
There you go. Let's start with Reese Hines.
Who's going first here, Jeremy?
We'll go talent first, so me. Reese Hines, is it with a D or an E?
It's a D.
I'm going to go Big Red Machine.
Okay, Brian?
Big Red Machine.
Reese Hines was recently called up starting right fielder for the Cincinnati Reds.
Damn.
Okay. At least it's 0-0. All right, next up. How many we got?
I got
five or seven.
However many we guys want to do till you figure out a winner.
Let's do five for time's sake here.
Okay. Will McEnany.
That sounds old. I'm going to guess he's a player from the 70s. I'll say Big Red Machine.
Can you spell it?
M small c capital E N A N E Y.
Can you use it in a sentence? I'm just kidding. I'll go Big Red Machine.
Correct. Pitcher in the on the 1976 team. Don Werner.
E or an A in Werner?
E.
I'm going to go Big Red Machine.
Same, Big Red Machine.
Indeed.
2-2, two to go.
Matt McClain.
Bowls aren't the same anymore. Matt McClain.
Matt McClain. Oh, that's crap.
Brian. I know. Not your turn.
I know. No, it is my turn, but I gave away that I know it. Damn it. It's a current red.
Yeah, you gave away the answer.
It's a current
red. Yeah, it's a current red. I know that one,
turn?
Too. He, like, second baseman converted outfielder.
Yeah, I know that one.
Yep. Yeah, it was his turn.
Okay. Lion Richardson.
Was it his turn?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I didn't think it was, but it's...
Yeah, because you went first, and that was the fourth question.
Okay.
Your odds on
Lion Richardson. Big Red Machine.
So we're tied here. So the only chance I have to win is to go current. So I think you're right, but I'll go current.
Lion Richardson is a relief pitcher on the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh!
Is he really?
Yes.
Wow.
L-Y-O-N. Lion.
Oh, okay.
I should have asked for the spelling again.
You should have, because you're right. If it was L-I-O-N, like the animal, it would have to be an old guy. But, yeah, L-Y is a younger man's name.
Ain't lying.
He got called up recently. He's on the active roster here.
He's a relief pitcher.
Let's fact check. He's on the
victory
active roster.
Mine.
I don't like to lose. Let's see if he's
you go fact check live on air instead of going to car wreck.
Dang it, he is on the active roster. Ah, congratulations, Brian. If I was there, I would shake your hand. But I'm giving you a virtual handshake. Yeah, I'm giving you a virtual handshake right now. Twitchers can see it. YouTubers can see it. You can see it if you're live on our Twitter at ESPN975.
That's very weird.
Virtual handshake. What is it? How does this look so bad?
Just virtual
handshake.
All right.
Congratulations, Brian. Let's get to car wreck of the day.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. I'll give you a you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Softball mom says, I'm actually from Cincinnati, Allison. I can confirm porkopolis. It comes from the excessive German immigration population. What are you calling Germans? Porks? Yeah, what does excessive mean there, softball mom?
Why is the
mom?
German population excessive? That sounds...
Yeah, that sounds...
Germanophobic?
German-Polish population, but yeah.
There's a big German influence in the Hill Country, too. Like Clutches. The barbecue and stuff, Fredericksburg. Yep. Schnitzel in Fredericksburg is very good. All right, Carrick of the day, what you got, Blankers?
Well, remember a few months back when our Braves sideline reporter was searching for a date on the air? Well, the Braves telecast isn't done having a little fun, but also they didn't catch their own mistake. They were talking last night about Ellie De La Cruz has a twin brother, only he's half his height. And he works back in the Dominican Republic, I believe, running a restaurant. So they showed pictures. No one proofed the pictures. The picture that they showed had Ellie's brother flipping off the camera.
I saw that.
And well done.
He was short, though.
Yes, he was. And MLB Network was picking up the telecast and showed it as well.
It's always funny to me whenever you have, like, these pro athletes that are all, like, you know, these freaks. And then they have the sibling that's, like, fat and out of shape.
Yeah.
And is, like, not even close to their sibling. It's so weird to me.
Yeah, one guy won the genetic lottery and the other is just the normal a normal guy.
Yep.
Like, how is one brother 6'5 and the other 5'5?
Like,
I think
weird.
It's a different dad.
They're twins!
I think it's a different dad. I don't believe so. No, there's no way. There's no way you can have twins and one of them 6'5 and the other 5'5.
If Ellie introduced you to a guy that was 5'5 and said, this is my twin, would you believe him?
No.
Okay, well, there we go.
Nope. Maybe they adopted him.
And just lied to him about being a twin?
Adopted him. Yeah, they adopted him at the same time. Like, they got, like, somebody there. The hospital's like, yeah, I don't want this baby. And they're like, well, we'll take him. We'll just have to. Like, how else could you explain the difference of a foot between the two?
Well, they're not identical, obviously. Right? I assume.
Still. A foot difference?
I mean, you can look completely different.
Makes
you could
no
be a
sense.
Boy. You could be twins, boy and girl, so obviously those wouldn't look the
same.
But
have you ever seen the discrepancy identical. In heights, though? I have cousins who are twins, and they're about the same height.
Well, I would,
and they're boy
I would
and girl.
Think the gender of the baby would be a bigger difference than the height. I mean, you could have twins that are boy and girl, so it's possible.
Yeah, but that's just like one chromosome, though. That's not 12 inches. One chromosome or 12 inches. What is more unlikely?
Hey, phrase it!
I'll get to my car wreck, because I feel like we're getting into territory we shouldn't be in. I'm going to nominate the entitled athlete, Rafael Devers. He's making $31 million, and he won't even play first base. He threw a fit when they signed Bregman. Oh, no, I can't play defense. Hey, Rafael, you want to play first now? Oh, no, I don't want to play defense, as he makes $31 million a year. So that's my first car wreck for Devers. The second one, the city of Houston sinking. It is sinking faster than any other major U.S. city, according to Nature City. Study by Virginia Tech, Columbia, and Cal using satellite-based radar measurements. Have one of those in the garage. They say 42% of Houston's land is sinking in more than 5 millimeters per year.
Sounds like Porkopolis.
Car wreck. They're sinking.
Maybe it's a factor of Porkopolis.
I'll give two quick
nominations. It's not the same city. How would it be Porkopolis?
Because I'm saying it's sinking because maybe everybody's eating too much.
Calling us fat?
Maybe.
Porky.
I'll quickly nominate Draymond for picking up another elbow technical and then trying to play the victim card right after. And then also the continuing Bill Belichick, Jordan Hudson drama to where she was banned from the facilities and North Carolina came out and said she wasn't banned. It just that drama is a constant car wreck.
Without
that's pretty good. Chuck's phone call says a texter. Josh from Seabrook, WGN for getting their facts wrong about the Pope. It's scientifically impossible to have a twin half your size. There you go. I knew it. Okay, what's winning?
I'll go Ellie. I'll go the picture of the brothers.
I'm going to go Rafael Devers.
Devers sucks.
So you're going Devers?
Yeah, all right, let's go Devers. Screw him.
All right. Thanks, Brian and Ryan, for the hard work. He's blank on Brandon. Talk to you next week. Aggie Baseball coming up right now on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Goodbye.
ESPN 97.5.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.